From the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
Give it a little bit more excitement. Hey, is your voice back?
Yes, it is.
How did you know?
I found it. It was in a
jar. It was in a jar by the bed.
It was on a jet to Cleveland. And we found my voice again.
Goodbye, Columbus. Why Ohio? What is it with Ohio?
I don't know.
Everything bad about in life is happening in Ohio.
John Kasich, definitely.
Whatever. Anyway, so Ohio, why Ohio, as Comden and Green said.
Comden and Green. Welcome to everybody who's been actually out for the last 2 weeks. It has been a really crazy time in politics, Randy.
It has, and we've been crazy about it. So we're back. We don't really go anywhere.
No, we don't.
No, but we.
Very sad.
Thank you for coming back and listening to show number 127.
Yes, 127. Yeah. It's very exciting, 127.
Why? Is it sort of like the answer to life, the universe, and everything?
Well,
no, that's 42.
That's 42. Yeah. It was 12 and a half. Anyway, well,
okay.
First thing on the
LSMFT.
We had to talk. This is part of our new segment that we didn't think we'd have. It's called, and could I have a little segment music?
Oh, yeah, the Fixin' and Post Band.
Come on in, guys.
Hey, you've got a mariachi.
Yes, it's the Mexican mariachi band for our new segment, What's the Matter with Hillary?
Oh,
oh my fucking God.
No, don't say that.
I got the mariachi band out of here.
Yeah, bye, guys. I'll pay you later in tacos.
You sound like Donald Trump there. Okay. Okay. This article reared its roily head in the New York Times, the paper of record.
Yeah.
Washington, New York Times. As Hillary Rodham Clinton's campaign struggles with sliding poll numbers, Vice President Joe Biden.
Jr.
We like Joe. Get this cheer squad in here.
Thank you.
Joe Biden's exploration of presidential candidacy is taking on new seriousness. Now, Mr. Biden has been in contact with donors who could help finance a campaign eyeing major contributors to President Obama and pillars of his own fundraising network, trial lawyers, Jewish leaders, and Greek Americans. I'm not going near that.
Jewish leaders?
Jewish.
Why? I don't get it.
It's my Uncle Murray.
Oh, because...
my Uncle Murray. Give him a few dollars.
Yeah, okay. No tickle-tackle.
So, what do you want
Joe
from me?
He's pro-Israel.
He's pro, of course. On Thursday, the vice president, who is not known for aggressively courting donors, and he's rather shy, spoke to George Sunnis, I think I'm getting that, a Long Island property developer and longtime supporter who raised more than $750,000 for the Obama-Biden ticket in 2012. These all happening. Why? It's happening because...
You think 170 days out from the Iowa caucus?
Yeah, but still.
Joe's going to run?
Joe might run, and the only reason that they're running is because of this story, which I took from Morning Joe, but it's true. Here it is.
I swear to God there are other candidates to cover. Hillary Clinton campaigns in South Carolina today, meeting local officials and holding a forum on the economy. The events come a day after polls showed her unpopular in swing states. Clinton had a net unfavorable ratings of 23% points in Iowa, 9 points Virginia, 21 points in Colorado. The poll also showed her losing in head-to-head races with top Republican candidates. She's losing in those same states to Marco Rubio, Scott Walker, and Jeb Bush. Now, Clinton was winning those matchups just 3 months ago in April, but the...
What's happening with... What's happening with Hillary?
What's happening with Hillary?
Hello, Hillary. What's happening?
What is wrong with you, HRC?
She was like going to be... she was it, man. Madam Secretary, this whole thing. Yeah. She was going to be president.
Did she start too soon?
I don't know, man. Why? It's. We did a show about a month and a half ago on the inevitability of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and then when she finally announced it, we says, "Well, it's about time. You should have announced ages ago." Well, I mean, she really announced about 8 years ago when she lost the nomination then.
Yeah, yeah. And she was vulnerable there, you know. And by the way, I want to say something about what we talk about with Hillary. I respect the hell out of Hillary Clinton.
Because you're from Massachusetts.
No.
You're a mass hat.
I really do. I respect the hell out of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, she's good. She's smart.
I think she's smart. I think she's wonderfully qualified if what you want is an establishment Democrat who will not regulate the banks. If you want that, she's great. I don't think she's evil. I think she's heart's in the right place. And by the way, this email shit.
Oh, Jesus.
Just well, fucking
stop
bullshit.
At nothing.
What's all well, this shit?
Benghazi.
You know, it's just like, you know, if you, you know, I've been listening to Fox. They've been going like mental on this.
But have all of them just started their run too soon?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is
170-odd days to go.
Before the Iowa caucuses.
Before the first primaries.
Okay. So, you know, hold your water, everybody. Yeah. You know, I mean,
usually we don't
calm down.
We don't even know who the candidates are.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been Jeb from...
from the Beverly
from
Hillbillies.
West Wing, you know?
Oh, Jeb Bartlett. Oh, yeah, okay, all right. But I think that what's happening with Hillary is that Hillary's campaign in these early stages have been pulled left by Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
But
so she's fighting fires.
Yeah, she is. But what you get with this, I have a bit that I'd like to.
And Liz Warren, too.
Yeah, I had a bit that I wanted to. She came out with a commercial. She's come up with a series of commercials. Hillary has,
yeah.
And this is one she released like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
and I love the commercial, but then I want to throw at you something that. Okay. So this is the commercial
this is
that
radio. They can't see that we're having to duck and weave.
Thank God. This is the commercial Hillary's campaign came out with last week or so.
Future generations will look back and wonder, what were we thinking? How could we possibly be so irresponsible? I'm just a grandmother with two eyes and a brain, and I know what's happening in the world is going to have a big effect on my daughter and especially on my granddaughter. It's hard to believe there are people running for president who still refuse to accept the settled science of climate change, who would rather remind us they're not scientists than listen to those who are. You don't have to be a scientist to take on this urgent challenge that threatens us all.
You know, well, there it is. That's the ad with all the scary music underneath. Ooh, climate change, you know. And we all love the ad. I love the ad.
Does she believe it, though?
That's the problem.
She's just telling people things they want to hear and hope that they'll vote for her.
That's absolutely the problem, because when you ask her about the Keystone Pipeline, she goes,
we'll see what happens.
She actually makes that sound, Randy. She goes,
it has something to do with Arkansas.
I don't know what that means.
Isn't that where she grew up?
Yes. I think so, yes.
Well, that's where they live.
That's where they live. That's where they live. So anyway, I think that the fact is that when you talk about people who are dealing with issues that are really, really important to the American people right now, you look at Bernie Sanders, who's talking the language of issues.
That he's been talking since the 60s.
Since the 60s. I mean, that you can't phony that, you know?
Yeah, you can't fake it when people will say, you know, he talked about civil rights when it was women's rights.
That's what
abortion. All of those things that he talked about when they were important and happening.
He marched with Martin Luther King. He was for gay rights in the 80s, man.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, you know. He's the real deal for progressives.
Yeah, I'd turn for Bernie. He's great. He says the things that people
since
want.
It's Rachel Maddow and Bernie now.
Well,
so it's like a lesbian.
I'm a swinging voter.
It's a lesbian and an old Brooklyn Jew.
Yeah. Hi, socialist Jew. Don't you stop me. I'm a socialist Jew. I'm my own Jew. Yes, I think Bernie Sanders, like you say, he's the real deal.
He is it, man.
You get what you see. You get what you've been hearing for the last 50-odd years.
Absolutely. And every time, because Randy and I live in a country that is socialist, And, yes, we're still here. We're kind of happy. Yeah.
America's a lot more socialist than they give themselves credit for.
Yeah.
A lot of these things started in the 30s under FDR, who was a socialist, maintained by Harry S. Truman.
Yeah.
You know, and they were carried, and even Eisenhower maintained some of those.
Oh, listen, hey, the tax rate under Eisenhower, 90%, guys. That was the last decent Republican president.
Yeah.
I mean, you every time you drive on a highway, that's the Eisenhower
the interstates.
The interstates, man. That's what the rich paid for when tax rates were up to 90%.
Yeah.
And those potholes, that's because no one's been paying for it.
Well, no, because they haven't prayed hard enough for them to go away.
Yeah, or we've been sending all the money in form of arms to, you know, every other fucking country on earth.
Do you want to know a little bit of something about the interstates?
Sure.
Every five miles has to have a straightaway in case a plane has to land in an emergency.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
You said that before in the show, and I was still impressed by it.
I know, but I waited long enough for most of our listeners to forget.
No. You know who knows that fact? Bruce Willis in any film.
Oh yeah,
he might have to land something.
Yeah, just find I-5 and I'm down, man.
Yeah. That's the action movie quote of the year. Hey, listen. Now you brought in something with Bernie Sanders on.
Yes, Bernie is the one that we actually. Bernie has class.
We love. I'm sorry, we're in the pocket for Bernie. If Bernie, for me. Yeah, I'll tell you something. If Bernie doesn't get the nomination, I'll work down here and contribute to Hillary if she gets it.
Yeah.
Because why lie?
Elizabeth Warren.
Liz Warren.
Is the kingmaker, like I said.
She
is the one who is going to anoint either Hillary, Bernie, or Joseph Robinette Biden Jr.
Robinette. Yes, that's
No, Joe. Stop it.
That's Joe Biden's middle name.
You know. Like Mary and John Wayne. What was it?
Mary and
Morrison. or Archie Leach.
Archie Leach, yeah. I never knew it was Robinette. That's a Randy
but, you know, he
fact.
Can he be
Joe
Jeb?
R. Biden.
Can he be Jeb? Can Jeb be Jeb, or will he have to be...
Jeb Bush is on the way out, man.
No, I know that, but the point is they... Barack Obama was Barry to his friends.
Yeah.
You know, you got Joe. Are we going to have formal names?
Well, not if we have a president named Bernie. Hey, it's Bernie!
No, it's Bernard!
President Bernie!
It's Bernard!
Anyway, okay, speaking of Bernie, you brought this
Bernie,
topic.
Yeah, and I'd like to see Bernie. Yeah. I'd like to see Elizabeth Warren pass her magic Indian dream catcher over Bernie and give him the anointment. Because like you said... Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren, going back to when you were a kid, packing your car in the Harvard Yard.
Absolutely. I used to listen to him. I'm sorry, I'm eating.
She was a lecturer.
I used to listen to him when she was a lecturer at Harvard. She was so smart, and everyone loved her.
Oh, yes. So here's Boyney showing you how to handle the media with a bit of class.
Mr. Bernie Sanders, our hero, Bernie Sanders.
Yes. In your speech tonight, you said you won't criticize or attack Hillary Clinton, certainly. But you did seem to draw some implicit contrast when you said you don't take money from super PACs and you voted against the Iraq war.
What I said is the corporate media talks about all kinds of issues except the most important issues. Okay? And time after time, I'm being asked to criticize Hillary Clinton. That's the sport that you guys like. The reason this campaign is doing well, because we're talking about the issues that impact the American people. I've known Hillary Clinton for 25 years. I like her. I respect her. I disagree with her on a number of issues. No great secret. I oppose the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Okay? I want to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour.
Doesn't she?
No. Not to the best of my knowledge, no. I believe I am opposed to the Keystone Pipeline. Okay, I voted against the war in Iraq. I voted against the USA Patriot Act. These are differences of opinions that we will discuss. But the issue that I want to be talking about is the collapse of the American middle class. You guys going to write about that?
Yes.
Is that an important issue?
Please do.
The need to create millions of decent-paying jobs. The obscenity of the kind of level of income and wealth inequality that we have today. The reason our campaign is doing well is because people are responding to those issues. So I am not going to get into the game. of sitting around attacking Hillary Clinton. We disagree. We're going to have, if I have anything to say about it, a respectful and intelligent debate. Other questions?
Why do you think working-class people in America vote against their economic self-interest?
That's a good question. And if I knew all of the complete answer to that, I'd be a lot smarter than I am. But this is what I will tell you. I think the Republicans have done a brilliant job over the years. They're very smart guys in dividing people on a million different issues. They divide people on gay marriage. They divide people on abortion. They divide people on immigration. And what my job is, and it's not just in blue states, believe me, we're going to go to red states, we're going to go to conservative states, is to bring working people together around an agenda that works for their kids and works for their parents. Raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Having a trade policy that creates jobs in America, not in China. Making sure that all of our kids can get a college education regardless of their income. Fighting for pay equity for women workers. We have an agenda that I believe can bring people together. And when we do that, we're going to win this election very easily, I think.
And that's Bernie Sanders.
Who's a class act.
He's a class act. I got to say, you know, if we could all be a little, you know, if every candidate could be a little bit more like Bernie.
Yeah, well, let's wait and see when the dust settles. Mm-hmm. Whether he's still standing.
I think
he's a 7-year-old divorce, a 70-year-old married a second. Well, Joe Biden was married twice. And let's just see what happens, whether the general public will vote for him.
That's okay.
You know, the main reason that your friend JFK was going to lose was because he was Catholic. And there had never before been an openly Catholic president, and they were worried that he was going to take directions from the Pope.
Well, you know,
and they were like with Obama, with supposedly Muslim clerics telling him what to do.
Yeah.
They were the same way with JFK.
Yeah.
So Americans are basically racist with regards to race, creed, color, and just about everything else.
Well, I don't think all Americans are racist, but
but they are when it comes to their presidents.
Mm. Oh, the way they've treated Obama.
Yeah, and they're going to treat Boyne.
And Bernie for being Jewish, you think?
The socialist Jew? You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Have you seen what... never mind. Maybe I shouldn't mention it.
What
Phyllis Schlafly said about him.
Okay, you know, go ahead.
That old socialist Jew. First, we're just getting rid of a black Muslim, and now we may even have a socialist Jew.
Look, and then she put on her sheet and burned a cross.
Well, it is Phyllis Schlafly, and I thought, she's older than God.
Where are the dockies now? And then she went back to her plantation.
Yeah, bring me a mint julep. Maybe Lindsey Graham is just Phyllis Schlafly.
I know, yes.
In a crinoline.
We could get both Phyllis Schlafly and Lindsey Graham to mate. That would be an amazing creation.
I don't think there's enough lubricant in the world. Sorry, that wasn't on the running sheet, but something's running.
All right. You went there, and I gotta follow that one. That's pretty disgusting.
You're crying.
No. That's a visual image I'm going to have to take a bath over. Oh, Lindsay.
Oh, dear. Depend on the kindness of strangers and KY.
Oh, my God. Now,
Product placement.
Thank you. Phyllis Schlafly, God love her. You know what the number one thing that evidently the worst thing that you can be, according to Chris Matthews over at MSNBC?
Oh, no, please don't tell me what's the worst thing I could be.
Yeah, the worst thing that...
We just had the image of Phyllis Schlafly.
There's an aftertaste with that image. Yes, thanks.
Petroleum jelly.
Go.
Chris Matthews, the douchebag?
Thank you.
Not to say. What is his name?
Chris Matthews was basically having a problem with... Chris Matthews was also his evidently.
Who is Chris Matthews? Can anybody tell me?
Well, Chris Matthews is, of course, Hardball over at MSNBC, and he is,
of course,
he is a professional douchebag.
That's a profession.
He's a profession. He's done it. He's the one that forced Phil Donahue off of network television.
Mr. Marlo Thomas.
Yes, Mr. Marlo Thomas.
Oh my God, that girl.
That girl. Dun dun. Can I hear that theme music now?
Stop it.
yes, it's that girl. Yeah, I got it for
come
you.
Come on, please.
Okay, so so this is Chris Matthews talking about the worst thing that you can be in the world. That's right, a socialist.
Sanders speak at the Democratic convention, win or lose. You want to have him up there on the stage as a socialist representing the Democratic Party? Do you want him up there?
Bernie Sanders.
Do you want him on the floor of the
convention?
Bernie
Sanders has been a good
should
Democrat.
He speak?
Caucuses with the Democrats. Of course he should speak.
Speak in prime time.
He should speak at the Democratic National
in prime
convention.
Time with
he
everybody will, watching.
Bernie Sanders represents a we are a big
so the
party.
Answer is yes.
I did. Speak I said yes. I can say
but
yes.
But
again.
But in prime time.
I don't know what time he should speak.
Oh, maybe when nobody's watching, you mean?
No, of course Bernie Sanders should speak. He should speak in a slot where the appeal that he has across the board, the progressive populist message that he has that resonates deeply and widely with the American people, not just with Democrats, absolutely that should be featured. The difference between us and the Republicans is that we really are a big tent party.
Mm-hmm. What is the difference between a Democrat and a socialist? I used to think there was a big difference. What do you think it is?
The difference between
a Democrat like Hillary Clinton and a socialist like Bernie Sanders.
What's the difference between being a Democrat and being a Republican?
Well, what's the big difference between a Democrat and a socialist? You're the chairman of the Democratic Party. Tell me the difference between you and a socialist.
The relevant debate that we'll be having over the course of this campaign is what's the difference between a Democrat and a Republican?
Can I just say,
yes,
that man is a lower German euphemism for female genitalia, or he's an absolute
yes,
prick.
Yes, he is.
Or he's see you next Tuesday, Chris. He is an absolute prick.
Chris Matthews.
Did you say yes?
Yes.
The answer was yes then. He should say yes in prime time. What a turd.
What an asshole. When did being a socialist become the worst thing that you could
be?
You know,
America is such
people
a...
People in Finland annoy you? I mean, what's the fucking problem?
No, he's confusing socialism with communism.
Yes.
Americans have always
but
made
Randy,
that problem.
Only a moron would confuse socialism with communism.
Well, then he's
wait
a moron.
A
look,
now,
we've got something on our website.
Let using me just, the fact that Americans don't know the difference, and they should learn.
Yeah, so he's trying to tar somebody with a brush. That has actually existed since 1776.
I actually have a little clip that I want to play before you bring up your stuff, because I know you're ready with a few.
I'm
few
locked
things.
And loaded.
You're locked and loaded. I want to play it because it is a day in which Chris Matthews can say that his IQ really is about the same as, that's right, you guessed it.
The temperature.
Well done. Gretchen Carlson. Here she is, the blonde who knew too little, Gretchen Carlson.
Now for my take. Have Americans totally lost their minds when it comes to remembering history? I know I remember President Ronald Reagan telling Russian President Gorbachev to tear down that wall. Yep, that was the Cold War, remember? I, for one, have been astounded at the number of Americans who are fine with our country moving in a socialist direction. Few Americans actually label themselves socialists, but it's their views on capitalism that are quite alarming. In a Pew Research Center survey, only 50% of Americans have a positive view of capitalism, and 40% have a negative response.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Yes, Gretchen Carlson really is panicking a lot because she thinks that the Soviet Union and Finland are this the same thing.
They're the devil. If you say Finland backwards, it's devil.
If you say lobotomy backwards, it spells Gretchen Carlson.
Oh, frontal and rear.
Now, you had something about this topic.
We've had something on our website for quite some time called the 75 Ways That... Socialism has helped America.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, socialism is not the opposite of capitalism. I think socialism is actually the opposite of maybe privatism. Is that such a thing? Because
privatism.
Because, you know, let's just go to the military. If it wasn't for socialism, you wouldn't have an army, a navy, an air force.
No, yeah. Right? You wouldn't have a post office. Taxes. Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't have schools. You wouldn't have roads. You'd have to buy a private, pay a toll on just about every road that you travel on.
That's, okay? By the way, that's Rand Paul's wet dream. Right there.
That is. That's
it. It is.
Okay. Public libraries, the police, the fire department, postal service, student loans and grants, bridges, garbage collection, public landfills, war. Farm subsidies, CIA, CIA, FBI, NSA.
Yeah.
Polio vaccine was developed.
That was a biggie.
Not only with fetal body parts, but with grants from the federal government. Ugh. You know? I mean,
polio vaccine. Museum. Like, we need that, huh?
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. I love that. So, yeah.
Polio
vaccine. If you want to get rid of the, if you want to get rid of Planned Parenthood, just go and catch polio because it's because of them that you don't have it.
Yeah, that's right.
Social security, museums, jails, prisons. Although some of them are getting privatized.
Yeah, they're getting privatized.
One thing that Bernie's against.
Yeah.
Okay. Any business, veterans, health, any elected government officials, food stamps, any welfare program, all of these things. All are all socialist.
They are.
And public transport.
Public transport.
Even though you pay a fare, the fact that that infrastructure is put in is a socialist principle.
Who do you think gets that train running in and takes you to a 53rd station?
So why do
the
people,
public transport ferry? No, it's the government.
any education that's not absolutely private is a socialist education.
But that's what they want. They want a world that is organized.
No, but they still
on feudal basis.
Yeah, they still want educational subsidies. Mm. They still want subsidies, but they're coming in from the back door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're saying, well, the government is giving us assistance. That's not socialism. Yeah. But they don't realize that that's really what it is. I'm just really angry at these people thinking that for some reason socialism is not a legitimate public structure.
And it's used by, you know, Fox News, establishment Democrats are trying to stay in the socialist. We live in a socialist country, by the way. It's fun. We like it.
Yeah.
And a new report released by the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development. Yes, I looked this up beforehand.
OECD.
Yeah, OECD.
Just use the acronym, Bill.
Thank you very much. Shows that happiness levels are highest in all those evil places where socialism happens.
Oh.
Denmark, Finland, Netherlands, right at the top of the list, ranking first, second, and
Australia.
Third. The U.S., as expected, the United States failed to make the top 10, but ranked among the highest for obesity and child poverty. Americans spend less than half the amount of time eating as the French, but have three times the obesity rate. This tells us something about slow food, I think, said Simon Chappelle, editor of the report, as he was interviewed by NPR. The report also...
National Public Radio.
That's right.
Socialist media.
Communist? Socialist. Terry Gross is a Stalinist asshole.
It's a socialist thing.
That's right. The report also showed that the United States has the lowest mean age for women when they first give birth at 25.1 years old. Also, the United States still ranks among the highest for child poverty rates. One in five children in America live in poverty. This is exceeded only by, yes, you should be very proud, Poland, Mexico, and Turkey.
Oh, somebody please think of the children.
Oh, God. Now, we were going to go into our first break, and I got this definition thing about socialism, and I'm really excited to share.
Yeah, define it for us all.
Because we live in a socialist country. Randy and I'm looking at him right now. He looks okay.
Yeah, I look all right.
You all right?
Yeah, we're both a little overweight, but then we're old.
Yeah, but you feeling any Maoist sympathies? You feel like...
For goodness sake.
I mean, do you have the urge to invade Eastern Europe for some reason?
Oh, the Stasi.
Those are the days. Those are the
days. Those
are the days. Yeah. Back of the Stasi.
Take down that wall.
Yeah. Okay, so here's our clip on socialism. We're going to do that. And we also have some advice for Hillary from the wonderful Bill Maher. And then we'll be back with Randy's rant.
I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take this anymore.
In just 1 minute, kids. See you soon.
Educates. Syncopates. Radio communicates. Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Now, here comes the music.
No word strikes more fear into the heart of Fox News anchors. No four syllables shakes the 1% more to its core than socialism.
The problem with socialism is,
why would President Obama want America to be more socialist than capitalist?
43% of 18 to 29-year-olds think socialism is okay.
Socialism is a dirty word in American politics. It's lobbed at presidents to try and tear them down and used by outsiders to set them apart. But what is it? Socialism is a political and economic theory of social organization that advocates the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned or regulated by the community as a whole. There are many different types of socialists, but the main idea is that the rich and the powerful don't get to call all the shots when it comes to the economy. But here's the thing that no one will tell you. America is already socialist. Here's why. Americans work like socialists. You know those 2 days a week where your boss can't berate you? What are they called? The weekend. The weekend was never part of big business's plan. It was fought for and won by the labor movement of the late 19th and early 20th centuries, a labor movement that was full of socialists. In 1938, Congress passed the Fair Labor Standards Act. It established a 40-hour work week, minimum wage, and eliminated child labor, which is a good thing. Unless you run a sweatshop, some of the most remarkable Americans, maybe even some of your heroes, were socialists. Mark Twain, Ernest Hemingway, Jack London, Cesar Chavez, Helen Keller, even Harry Houdini was a socialist. Now America has Bernie Sanders, who calls himself a democratic socialist, and Danny Glover, who's so down. But I'm still waiting on Lethal Weapon 5, the picket line. Whenever you get on a highway, drive over a bridge, use electricity from a dam, or go to a school or hospital, you're probably partaking in American socialism. To pull the country out of the Great Depression, over 30,000 public works programs were sponsored by the government under Franklin D. Roosevelt's New Deal. Infrastructure. Infrastructure that's now crumbling, even with President Obama's 2009 economic stimulus package, which tried to pull us out of the most recent Wall Street-induced financial meltdown. But the New Deal wasn't labeled socialism, except by its critics. FDR defended it, saying, "The test of our progress is not whether we add more to the abundance of those who have much, it is whether we provide enough for those who have little." The New Deal also included unemployment insurance and Social Security, making sure that you can get back on your feet when you lose your job and you're taken care of when you get old and crotchety. You could call it big government socialism or just looking out for one another. The military, the one area of spending no one would dare call socialist, and yet, it's largely funded by you, the taxpayer. Strange for all the wars the U.S. has fought trying to stop the spread of socialist ideas, you'd think that war was a capitalist venture. Around 27% of your tax dollar goes to fund the biggest and most expensive military in the world, with a budget of $598.5 billion. Compare that to spending on unemployment, Social Security, education, science, and infrastructure, and it looks like the military is red all over. Good God, y'all. Welfare is also one of those things that's bad-mouthed for being socialist, because why take care of the needy? But what about corporate welfare? Since 2000, Uncle Sam has given $68 billion in business grants and tax credits, two-thirds of which has gone to large corporations. Transportation and energy are the biggest beneficiaries. Even some of the biggest corporations, like Walmart, encourage their employees to use food stamps and other government services because apparently the most profitable corporation in the world can't pay a livable wage. It's almost like socialism is fine if it helps the rich, but terrible if it helps everyone else. In the end of the day, socialism is as American as apple pie, bought at a Walmart with food stamps.
And finally, new rules since it was my $1 million check to Obama in 2012 that turned around his lagging campaign and put America back on the path to awesome exceptionalism. Tonight, I would like to announce that the time has come for me to step forward and save Hillary Clinton's lagging campaign by digging down deep and forking over $1 million.
Don't tease me like that.
Worth of advice.
Oh.
sorry.
We'll come back to you on that.
I live in California. I need that money to pay my water bill. Now, I know many liberal Democrats these days are expecting Bernie Sanders to be their standard bearer now that he's ahead in New Hampshire, but I wouldn't have the couches in the Oval Office fitted for plastic slipcovers just yet. I mean, I love Bernie, but we must assume Hillary is going to be the nominee, and after witnessing...
Yes!
After witnessing the gruesome 100-car pileup that is the Republican field, I, for one, am not going to stand idly by and let Hillary blow this thing. And yes, the situation is dire. Her positives are in free fall, with only 37% of Americans now viewing Hillary favorably, and 57% says she's not trustworthy. If an election were held today, she'd lose key battleground states to Scott Walker, a man who looks like a drunk in a silent movie who's... who's just been punched by mistake. Perhaps, worst of all, one poll says she's now viewed negatively by white women with college degrees. That's like Obama losing John Legend. Hillary, I don't want to sound like Trump, but your campaign stinks and your numbers are terrible. And speaking of Trump, Hillary, you should be the one candidate who hits that blowhard as hard as he hits. Say something like, Mr. Trump, you accuse Megyn Kelly of being on the rag, but what's going on with your hormones when you start whining every time a woman asks you a tough question, you little bitch? And that's my first bit of advice. You gotta make the campaign more fun. This week, you introduced a detailed plan to make college more affordable, as you've released detailed plans on immigration, climate change, taxes, whatever. Honey, that's stuff that's actually relevant to the job of being president of the United States. But this is America. Campaigns aren't for policy. Just say, I will be the best at college affordability. And enjoy it more. A prominent supporter recently called your campaign joyless. And it kind of is. Now, I know this presents a conundrum. How do you appear more joyful, but without that laugh? Yes. The laugh. The one that makes people think you're the Wicked Witch of the West Wing. You gotta get rid of that, and you gotta find a way to look like you're a spontaneous fun lover. See if Taylor Swift has room in her girl gang for you. Ride an inflatable penis with Miley Cyrus. Lick a donut with Ariana Grande. Pee in a bucket with Justin Bieber. Geez, girl, you invented bad blood. Start a Twitter war with Katy Perry and then delete your tweets. Okay. Next thing you have to do, I want you to announce your VP pick, and I want it to be Baltimore Slap Mom. That's right. Remember the woman during the Baltimore riots this year who slapped her son because he was throwing bricks at the cops? She is your ticket to the White House. Liberals love her because she's a strong, single mom, and conservatives love her because she beats the crap out of unarmed black teenagers. And... finally, Hillary, your ace in the hole to get America back on your side is your husband, Bill Clinton. He has to have an affair. Or at least you have to find a way to publicize one of the ones he's probably already having. I say this because the years when you owned Most Admired Woman in America were the years when he was doing with anything that had shoulder-length hair and moved slower than he did. You can get the magic back, but Bill has to humiliate you, if at all possible, with Rebel Wilson on the Jumbotron at a Cubs game while you're throwing out the first pitch. We could also make this work with Jonah Hill, but nah. All right, that's our show.
Ladies and gentlemen, keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle, because now it's time for Randy's Rant.
Randy's Rant! And a special cheerio to Val from Great Falls, New York, which is just up from Lesser Great Falls in New York.
We're going to mention Val on every episode from now on.
She won our first competition.
And we have another one.
Yeah, and we have another one coming up later today. And she especially said she liked Randy's Rant because her husband's name is Randy.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Yeah, it is. But I have to tell you, Val, I haven't used the name Randy apart from this show for 40 years now, because in Australia and England it means horny. You Randy bugger.
Flirting with Val?
Oh, sweetheart.
Stop it. You're just
next
a madman.
Next time
man.
You're screaming out my name at night,
Stop. No, think of your husband, Val. He's crazy.
Okay. Now, Randy's Rant this week just spoke to me, as most of Randy's Rants do. I mean, last week we did our Randy's Rant on trying to defund Planned Parenthood.
Which, yes.
All those people who did not catch polio were trying to defund Planned Parenthood. Well, this week, I want to talk about sanctimonious bullshit.
Can you find any?
I was dripping with it.
Oh, my God.
Just one listen to it. It first started out when I saw an article about a Kansas woman, a state employee.
Yeah.
Whose name was Courtney Canfield, who was fired.
Why?
Fired from her job.
Why?
From the state secretary's office after repeatedly resisting attempts by her Republican boss to make her attend church.
Are you kidding me?
She was fired.
She was fired
for not being obsessed with worshiping God.
I'm just curious. Where is this?
Kansas.
Oh, God, of course.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Gateway to Oz, yeah.
Yeah.
No, so, I mean, I'm just thinking, now, this guy, he insisted that she worship more and invited her to his church several times. That sounds like an opening to the gates of hell, doesn't it?
Yes.
And anyway, as an American citizen and a human being, she just refused.
Yep. And which is her right.
Her absolute right. It's called freedom of religion. It's called,
cut it out.
First Amendment rights.
Really? Serious?
Anyway?
If you're going to invite me to Christianity, I'm going to invite you when we slay the goat in the backyard with that star. And
oh, I love reading entrails. Isn't it fun? Isn't it fun reading entrails? Anyway, I just thought that was just really...
So she got fired. That's terrible.
Got fired. Then we've got the... Ashley Madison episode. Do you know what Ashley Madison is?
Oh, God,
Ashley Madison is a website in Canada where people were allowed to register because they wanted to...
have an affair.
Extramarital affair, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just...
Their motto is, life's too short. I mean, I say that anyway.
Life's too short. Let your wife kill you.
Life's too short. And do you realize that they got hacked last week?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago now. Hacked. And they're 37 million. That's more than the entire population of Australia.
That's a lot.
37, almost the entire population of Britain. Million members.
Yes.
Were released online, everybody. And there are members all over the world.
I'm privately enjoying this. Yes.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's called schadenfreude.
You know the panic on the House of the floor of the United States Senate must have
been... No, it was actually in Britain.
Really?
Britain and even Australia. This is called Schadenfreude. You ever heard that German word?
No, I've heard it. Yeah. What does it mean?
Schadenfreude means pleasure at the misfortune of others.
Yeah, but
this is it. This is full on Schadenfreude.
Yeah, it is, or as we call it, slapstick.
Yeah. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Ashley Madison website. Yes. Life's too short, have an affair. One of them was the GOP leader in Louisiana.
Really?
Yeah, and cool. He said I was only on there to do research. Okay.
I was only on there to research the sheep possibilities and wild animals.
That's not Louisiana. It's crawdads.
Oh, wait a minute. I was only on there to research the terrible vulgarness.
Yeah. He's Bobby Jindal's boss.
Is he?
Yeah. Mohandas Jindal, that's his boss.
Really?
The Louisiana GOP leader.
I didn't know that.
Well, no, he must be.
Well, there you go.
Bobby Jindal's running for...
But you had the piece de resistance.
Now I've got the piece of resistance.
The piece de resistance of the story.
I don't like to talk French. You know, it's freedom fries.
Go ahead. Talk French to us.
Of all the 37 million people who were outed by these hackers, is probably the best and sweetest.
Yeah.
And that's Josh Duggar. Josh Duggar, as we remember, the number 19 of 19 and counting. Well, no, he was number 1 of 19 and counting. And the head of the Family Law Council or American Research Council or something. Was
Family
like,
Law.
Whatever it was. And
we love
well-known child molester.
Yeah.
Including four ancestral with his sisters down to the age of 5.
Yeah.
But they all forgave him, and every political candidate came out and forgave him and was photographed with him. Do you think they're going to do that again?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think they're going to get photographed?
Thought it couldn't get more blue velvet.
Yeah, okay. He was caught on Ashley Madison spending up to $1,000 out of the collection plate, $1,000 subscription to be introduced to people who wanted to have an affair. And
yes,
he's also come out as a porn addict.
Yeah.
Totally addicted to pornography. So,
yeah.
You know.
Bill,
honestly.
Yes. Yes. It's Randy
Brandt. This guy is, if you think that he's protecting the sanctity of marriage by doing all this fucking around, yet saying gays have no right to be married. Well, that's really funny.
It is. I love, you know, and the fact is, all those things like fooling around with other people and, you know,
and they're going to blame his wife.
Watching dirty pictures. You know something? I would not be on your case about that unless you started telling my son that he wasn't human enough to get married and that he was the threat to family values.
Yeah, and
that's why I'm on your fucking case.
But the whole family, including Jim Bob and the mother and everybody,
have
come out and said it's really his wife's fault.
Why?
She didn't keep him happy enough.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, and she's come out and said it, too.
Are you from Eastern Europe?
Not only did you must do it with your sister
first. That's positively
first.
Saudi Arabian. You have not made the male happy.
Let's have a listen to the lovely nuptials of Josh and Anna Duggar.
You've got...
Let's take us back.
Oh, no, this is heartbreaking.
It is. It's really... get your tissues ready, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God.
Because in light of all of these revelations, let's listen to Josh Duggar's cringeworthy marriage vows.
Oh, God.
Joshua, do you take this ring as a symbol of Anna's love and devotion and a sign of her loyalty and abiding love?
I do. The loyalty song is actually meant to teach young children the character quality of loyalty in their life. But I thought, what a greater example of loyalty than marriage. And that's where I really felt like that song really displayed my emotions and my feelings for Anna. And I thought, what a special way to emphasize that. I mean, really, those words spoke the very emotions from my heart. And I was so emotional at that time anyway, it was hard for me to really think, okay, I gotta sing this. I gotta be able to get these words out.
When you have hard times and all others are gone, I will be there when the troubles have come through sun sunshine or rain, when no hell can be found. Things may seem hopeless, but just look around. I'll be there to the end with you. I'll do my best to be faithful and true. Through the hardest of days, we will choose the right way. My commitment I'll prove. Yes, I will.
Very romantic, and I think it's something that every woman dreams of her husband singing to her.
Wake up, Bill. Bill, are you
God.
Okay? Oh, Bill, are you okay?
Oh, God.
Wake up.
Oh, God.
I think you fainted.
Oh, God, that's so awful.
In all my years, I'll be faithful to you.
Oh, man.
With Ashley Madison and $1,000 to have a fiddle and with my sisters and the neighbors and the porn.
Yeah, oh, God, really, man. That's just like... It gets so bad. I think
well, that's what
so
I mean.
That's what
I mean about sanctimony. The sanctimony of marriage.
But it's
not the sanctity of marriage. It's the sanctimony of marriage. These guys are so phony and so full of bullshit.
The higher they fly,
the harder they fall.
Yeah.
Josh Duggar flew high and took all the Republican candidates with him, and he's fallen down.
Yeah.
Down to hell.
And I don't want to say that we're vindictive, but Randy's sitting at the hole going,
and poor Bill was crawling into a corner, sucking his thumb and looking for his blankie. Now, do you know what the ultimate, though?
Yes, what is it?
The bullshit was Mike Huckabee.
Oh, no, I'll go with you
Father
on that.
Father Mike Huckabee has come out as being probably trying to be the biggest godfather of the Republican people. Look at me.
Yeah.
I believe in God. My God is stronger, more powerful than you. And do you know what the biggest hurtful thing was?
What?
Is about 2 weeks ago, and she became the poster girl of all the conservatives. An 11-year-old Uruguayan girl had a baby.
Right.
She'd been raped at 10 years old
became
pregnant. They thought she was just so important that
It was shocking.
So Mike Huckabee came out and said, look, I know she's 11. That's a tragedy. And I think it was probably a C-section because...
I think I know what's coming
here. Your pelvic girdle would not be...
Okay.
And also you get a lot of terrible things happen when you get pregnant too young. Anyway... He came out and said, look, it's still a life. So let's listen to Mike Huckabee, the biggest shithole in the world.
Okay, here we go. Mike Huckabee, 10 years old. Good on you, Mike. Here he is.
I think what we have to do, Dana, is remember that creating one problem that is horrible. I mean, let nobody be misled. A 10-year-old girl being raped is horrible. But does it solve a problem by taking the life of an innocent child? And that's really the issue. I know people. I worked for a man for several years, James Robison, who was the result of a rape. His mother went to three doctors in Houston, Texas in 1943, begged doctors to abort the baby. None of them would do it. They all refused. Today, his organization feeds, cares for, and brings living capacity for water to hundreds of thousands of people across the world. That would never have happened, Dana. So when I think about one horror, I also think about the possibilities that exist. And I just don't want to think that somehow we discount a human life.
And that's understandable. But, you know, the flip side is looking in the eyes of a 10-year-old girl saying, you know, you had this horrible thing happen to you and you're going to have to carry it out for the next 9 months. I mean, that's also not easy.
No, it isn't easy. And I wouldn't even pretend that it's anything other than a terrible tragedy. But let's not compound the tragedy by taking yet another life. And I always think we sometimes miss the fact that when an abortion happens, there are two victims. One is the child. The other is that birth mother, who often will go through extraordinary guilt years later.
Yeah, it really does come down to, like you say, whether or not every sperm is sacred.
Yeah.
You know, the 1 billion that you left every night on your bedroom wall, whether those were all, whether those, sorry about that image, whether those were all people, or, yeah, you know, I mean,
was,
I just
when
can't
I was 15,
stand.
I killed more people than Pol Pot, if that's true. But the thing is.
The trouble is that how could he say that, an 11-year-old?
Oh, no,
or a 10-year-old,
it's just insane. The fact that you
her
think.
Her body's not ready.
Her body's not ready, but it's also the matter of kind of, it's like, is that you are basically saying that this woman has to go through this because of what you believe.
Yeah.
It's not about you. It's about this woman. If people don't believe in abortion, fine. But your ability to tell people what to do in that respect ends at your body. Mm. You do not get to have a say in how this woman carries on her life. Mm. Mr. Huckabee, that's the insulting thing about
or
this.
Or any of them.
No,
any
absolutely.
Of them. Ted Cruz came out as well.
Now, if you don't have female, it's what Randy always says. If you don't have female genitalia, baby, shut the fuck up because it's
you
none of your business.
You don't have an opinion, yeah.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of that
right.
coming out. And I just think that they all came out and said, no, she must have the baby. This 11-year-old, 10-year-old Paraguayan girl must have the baby. Yeah. Every sperm is sacred. Every fetus is a baby. For goodness sake, one in three terminations is natural.
Yeah, well, that is sanctimonious horseshit on Randy's ranch. It was fantastic. Yeah. Now, you also brought in, we have a few...
campaign ads.
Actual campaign ads.
Might as well, if we're going to talk about them, we might as well promote their agenda as well.
Absolutely. So here's something that you brought in. This is evidently a new campaign ad for Donald Trump.
Could there possibly be one that would get him elected?
I don't know. Maybe this will do it. Thanks to Randy and his research, here is the newest Trump for President theme song.
Trump, he thinks he's running for president. Trump, he's filed for bankruptcy 4 times. His face is as orange as his hair. He thinks climate change isn't real, and he thinks China invented it. He speaks out against immigrants. His Twitter's like a parody account. Trump, 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 hires extras to clap at press conferences. Trump, Trump, has flame wars with many celebrities. Trump, Trump, gave Twilight actors dating advice. Thinks vaccines link to autism and light bulbs cause cancer. He called Rosie O'Donnell fat. He says he's taking down ISIS. He thinks he can run the entire country, but they won't let him run his casinos. Trump, 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 he's rich, you're fired. Trump, Trumpity Trump, Trump!
Oh, Bill, I've got to tell you.
What?
That wasn't actually a Donald Trump ad.
That wasn't.
It's actually a piss take from a group I love called Animation Domination.
Animation Domination.
You can find them on YouTube.
Really wonderful.
Yeah, it's very funny.
That was funny. I really enjoyed that. Yeah. It was great.
His hair is like an Escobar. You know.
Well, now, listen, I actually had a listen because we're going to be starting to bring in the campaign ads as they come. Ted Cruz did a campaign ad.
Ted Cruz?
He did a campaign ad, and I was, like, listening to that campaign ad. And, this is the campaign ad.
It sounds familiar.
So this is the campaign ad that I heard that Ted Cruz actually did. So, Randy, this is the... I feel like I'm doing a Letterman bit.
Yeah.
Paul, this is the actual campaign ad that Ted Cruz did. Okay, this is it.
My story is like that of so many other American families. I'm the son of an immigrant father who fled oppression in Cuba and came to this country with just $100 to his name. My mom was a pioneer in computer science, smashing glass ceilings at a time when women were discouraged from following their dreams. And now, as a husband to Heidi, and a father to our two little girls, Caroline and Catherine.
So that's the ad, and I kind of like the ad. It's very homey. It's very nice.
Well, there's also, you know, in your research, you found that that was the final cut
of a commercial.
But there actually were some outtakes.
You and I are actors.
We know that you never get it right on the first take.
That's right. And evidently, there was a first take, and. And here it is. This is the first take of Ted Cruz's commercial to be president of the United States.
My father was a relentlessly self-improving boulangerie owner from Belgium with low-grade narcolepsy and a penchant for buggery. My mother was a 15-year-old French prostitute named Chloe with webbed feet. My father would womanize, he would drink, he would make outrageous claims like he invented the question. Sometimes he would accuse chestnuts of being lazy, the sort of general malaise that only the genius possess and the insane lament. My childhood was typical. Summers in Rangoon, luge lessons. In the spring, we'd make meat helmets. When I was insolent, I was placed in a burlap bag and beaten with reeds. Pretty standard, really. At the age of 12, I received my first scribe. At the age of 14, a Zoroastrian named Vilma ritualistically shaved my testicles. There really is nothing like a shorn scrotum. It's breathtaking, I suggest you try it.
Ted Cruz for president.
That's the actual, that's the actual take.
You know, there's only one thing wrong with it.
Yes.
I don't think they should have really used the West Wing music.
No, it's
probably copyright.
Yeah, I know.
But otherwise, the rest of it was perfect.
Don't sue me.
He'd run a boulangerie with a penchant for buggery.
It's all I can think of when I heard Ted Cruz's commercial. Yeah.
Did you know that there are four?
Yes.
The birthers are going after four.
Yeah.
Count them. Quattro.
Four. Quattro.
Of the conservative GOP candidates.
Yes.
Ted Cruz.
Is he one of them?
The Canadian.
Yeah, yes. The Canadian.
Marco
Rubio. And? Ricky?
Jindy. Mohandas Jindal.
Jindal. Yeah.
And Rick Santorum.
And Little Ricky.
Little Ricky's Ricky Santorum. So, I mean, they're going after these guys.
Yeah.
The very ones that are trying to get rid of the 14th Amendment.
Yeah.
And now we know why.
Yeah.
It's not because of the Mexican migrants. It's because it's what's preventing them from open slather running for president. Yeah. Did you love it?
No, I know. I tell you, that's absolutely it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, the next thing I wanted to mention is, of course, the terrible news about Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yeah. He's 90.
Yeah, I know.
He's he's had a very good innings.
What a great guy.
He's still out there every day.
He and Roz are still
out there building affordable housing for people.
Yeah, no. And while, you know.
You know, we used to make fun of Miss Lillian, his mother, gone into the Peace Corps. But that's obviously a family thing.
Do you know that he's going to Africa? That he's actually going to Africa, and even now, with cancer, he's going to Africa.
It's not. He's got a melanoma, which has entered his system.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's actually troubling him.
Yeah.
And it is not an imminent death sentence.
Yeah, but with you, whether you disagree with Jimmy Carter or whether you like Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, the guy's
or the policies. The guy's a great guy, right?
And also, it was the one time we were not at war, yes?
Absolutely.
Yes, we had the trouble with Iran.
Yeah,
but that was their thing, not us.
But as an ex-president, I mean, the guy's been fantastic.
Yeah. At a time when America needed healing.
Well, let me read this because it really...
After Nixon?
Very disturbed me.
And Ford?
And God.
Oh, this... yeah.
So Fox News fans celebrate... This came off the wire. Fox News celebrate when former President Jimmy Carter announced he had cancer earlier this month. Many were sympathetic and offered their best wishes. While the majority of responses were positive, not everyone was caring. And you know what? Fox. That's right, on the Fox News website. After Carter announced his cancer had spread, Fox News sent a negative tweet about his presidency. Our country has not been as aimless and lost as it is today since, I think, Jimmy Carter. Taking the criticism ever further was conservative commentator Debbie Schlussel. Fuck you, Debbie. Who tweeted out, "A cancer has a cancer. Oops. I mean, Jimmy Carter has cancer. Same diff."
Oh, fuck.
What is your fucking problem, lady? Jesus Christ. Now, we have looked up Jenny's. And we don't advocate harassment or any obscenity.
Yes, we do. I want you to email this bitch and tell her to keep her mouth shut unless there is a donkey on the other end.
No, we don't. We don't conduct ourselves that way. Unless we're drunk.
Her website is
www.debbieschlussel.com. Yes, and since obviously, Debbie, you have advocated that it's okay, that a cancer has a cancer and it doesn't really bother you, here's what we hope you get. Hemorrhoids.
Yeah, we're large, a pretty bad one.
Large, terrible hemorrhoids.
A whole bunch of anal
grapes. If there is a god, you will get hemorrhoids up your ass.
That's usually where they have them. And a prolapse.
And if you can get hemorrhoids in your fucking nose and eyelids, you can should get hemorrhoids there. Because you are a very bad, nasty, evil, mean-spirited person. And I don't like you.
Oh, worse. I hope she gets Josh Duggar.
No.
I hope she turns out she was on Ashley Madison. Because that would
make me happy. Yeah. But really, seriously, how can you be that mean-spirited? Now, going on to mean-spirited, the world's becoming a really dark place because I think a lot of the right-wingers are encouraging this thing. Yeah. And along those lines, this was in the Boston Globe. Well, you know, I obviously have no life. This was in the Boston Globe. And they say,
That's because you're a masshat. You love reading anything to do with Boston.
I know.
You eat baked beans.
I do.
Yeah, no.
Don't be around here when I eat baked beans. It's not pretty.
Boston
Brothers said that they were inspired by Donald Trump. What, you ask, to graduate college, to become an entrepreneur, to become a better person?
What did he inspire you to do?
They were inspired by Donald Trump to beat and urinate on a homeless Latino man, police revealed on Wednesday. According to the state police, Scott Leader and Steve Leader, yes, they're related, encountered the victim on the way home from a Red Sox game. I'm so fucking ashamed of you. Sox fans are always fantastic, and you, sir, should be banned from Red Sox Nation.
So how did Donald Trump inspire them?
Well, this is what he says. The man said that he awoke to find the brothers urinating on his face and rummaging through his belongings. Next thing, he was getting hit in the face and in the head. He remembers being punched several times with a metal pole for no apparent reason. And Scott Leader, 38, told investigators that he thought it was acceptable to assault homeless people because Donald Trump, this is quote, "Donald Trump was right. All these illegals need to be deported." Now, Trump, when he was asked to respond to this, said this. He called the assault a shame, but then he said, "I will say that the people who follow me are very passionate. They love this country and they want this country to be great again. They are passionate." No, they're thugs.
Yeah.
They're fucking ruthless fascist thugs because you're a fucking fascist. you dick. By the way, he is a fascist. Did you notice that?
Donald Trump.
Yeah, fascist dick.
Okay.
Fascist dick. And that's just me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that.
You go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you just told Donald Trump.
I told him.
Yeah.
Now we have a.
I get to play something again.
No, we're going to go to a break.
Yeah, but I want to play something during the break.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask you, what is it that you want to play during the break?
That sounds like a setup. Can we be a bit more spontaneous, please?
Oh, all right. So Donald Trump, bad people who follow Donald Trump.
Yeah, you're an asshole, Okay. Yeah, okay, right. Let's go to a break. Hey, Ray, what do you want to play? Okay. I wanted, this is me, but it's on the running sheet so I can say it.
Yes.
I want to say that Melbourne is the most livable city in the world.
Livable.
I know, but you spelt it wrong, so I thought I'd say it exactly as it was.
Are you correcting my spelling on radio?
No, I was pronouncing it exactly as it was spelt.
Okay.
Yeah, the grammar Nazis and the spelling Nazis were getting it.
I was in a rush.
Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that for the five years running...
We're not bragging.
Yeah, we are. I am bragging.
Yes, okay.
Because you ought to know
sure
where
people
we're...
people love that. that.
We're Americans. We yes. we do this show every fortnight or so to tell you what we think about the possibility of America being great again. Oh, who says that? Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yes.
Sorry.
But you mean it.
We live in Melbourne, Australia.
A socialist country.
A socialist country and a socialist city. And I want you to listen to this, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, here it is on the break. And we'll be back for tinfoil hats in just 1 minute.
Here are five things you might not know about the world's most livable city. We love coffee. The Port of Melbourne handles 30 tons of coffee every day. Melbourne was almost called Batmania after founder John Batman. Now that would have been cool. We love visitors and are officially the world's friendliest city. The world's very first feature film, The Story of the Kelly Gang, was made right here. Speaking of movies, some very bright stars, Cate Blanchett, Eric Bana, and the Hemsworth brothers, were all born and bred right here in Melbourne. Well done, Melbourne.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again. That time when we listen to the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment here today.
And it is.
And it is. Oh.
Yes.
I forgot.
No, you forgot.
I forgot.
The numbers.
The numbers. We always give kind of poll numbers. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll do them this week.
And this is the Iowa poll numbers.
This is the Iowa straw poll that was taken.
And they're pretty disturbing.
Yeah, well, they just had their state fair. My state fair is a great state fair. Rodgers and Hammerstein thought so.
Yeah, no, a lot of white people in one place. Go ahead.
So this was taken on the 15th of August, the Iowa straw poll. First for the Democratic candidates.
Yeah.
Somebody named Webb.
Webb?
Yeah.
What's he doing?
0.61%.
Yeah,
I don't think. Less than 1%.
Hardly showed up at the barbecue, yeah. Did he?
Okay. Chafee.
1.52%.
Father O'Malley.
Father O'Malley.
3.8%. Must be a local. Favorite son.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
41.19%.
Yeah.
And Boehner, that socialist Jew, 52.89%
in
Iowa.
Are you kidding me?
52% for the Democratic vote
in Iowa. He's beating Hillary in Iowa?
Yes, by 11%.
Oh, you mean in the caucuses?
No, in this straw poll.
At the Iowa State Fair, yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't know if it was actually taken there, but the State Fair was on that
time.
Wow. And all the people went there and pressed the flesh and ate corn dogs. Don't you remember that famous picture
with
Michelle Bachmann deep-throating a devil's dog?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Can't shake that one.
And her
husband took two bites. The Republican...
Rim shot, please. Thank you.
I got here all week. Now, the Iowa straw poll for Republican candidates.
Yeah.
And there were a few, like over a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
Walker.
Scott Walker.
That coke sucker.
The amazing...
6.7%, which is actually quite good.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Out of a field of 17.
Yeah. I got a nickname for Scott Walker from now on.
What is it?
You know, every time I see him, it reminds me of Jaime, the computer in Get Smart.
Yeah, the robot. Yeah, Jaime the robot.
He's created by the Koch brothers.
Donald Trump. Donald.
You're fired.
27.48%.
Jesus Christ.
Well ahead of anybody else in the field by 10 points.
Oh, my God.
Ricky Santorum. The Italian boy, 2%.
2%.
Marco Rubio. He's out there with 6.8%.
6.8%.
Yeah. Rick Perry.
Yes.
1.63%. And Rand Paul.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Perry.
Yeah, and Rand Paul.
Yeah. Where's 3.95%. See, that's the thing. Everyone thought Rand Paul would do better, and he's just dying in the ass.
Your friend thinks, Rachel thinks she's going to be the first one out.
What, Rand Paul?
To jump the clown car.
Yeah.
It's just too far, too different from all the rest of them. He can't get his voice. He was supposed to be
the one with the kind of radical populist shit. Ooh. And then Trump came in and just drowned him.
Yeah, she thinks he's going to be the first.
How about Fatso Christie?
Hang on, Pataki.
Pataki? What about him?
It's something. I have no idea who he is.
Yeah, George Pataki is
0.14.
Is that where Christie is?
No, that's George Pataki.
Former governor of New York. Yeah, Kasich.
2.79.
Yeah.
Bobby Jindal, twice that. Four point something.
Yeah, but so he's really.
Yeah.
No one's going to like
Mohandas Jindal.
No one's going to like Opie president. Ugh. Okay, so what about
Huckabee?
Down
there.
Good.
Down amongst the farts under this bleachers. 3.67.
And how about Fatboy Christie? Who I just really hate. I'm sorry.
Less than 1%.
Yeah! Yes! Yes, you abusive bastard.
Okay, the people that were up there, Carly Fiorina, 7%.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy Cruz, 7%.
Yeah.
George Bush, 6%.
Yeah. Jeb. Oh, geez, you're talking about Jeb, yeah?
Now.
Yeah.
Jeb.
You're such a disappointment to the family, darling.
Now, do you know who actually was second to Donald Trump?
Who?
Ben Carson.
The Great Gazoo? Who?
Ben Carson at 18.16%. 18.16%.
The dentist? The surgeon?
Retired neurosurgeon.
Yeah.
Who practiced a little too much on himself towards the
end. Dr. Strangelove.
Dr. No Love. I don't do anything unless Jesus tells me I can.
This is what we're telling you, guys. We may not settle on Hillary or Bernie for a while, but whatever our nominee is, they're not going to be one of these guys.
Donald,
there is not one there.
One, two, and three in the Melbourne Cup. Donald Trump. Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina. And Ted Cruz.
And Ted Cruz.
Together.
Ted Cruz together. Well, thank you for the numbers.
I'm just worried about these numbers.
Yeah.
Because somebody said Fiorina is really the only one that is kind of going to be standing in the in this
group. Make elemental tools, walk erect.
Those are the numbers, ladies and gentlemen. In the Corn Pone Caucus.
That is our, we've had our news theme playing underneath us.
Is for this heaven?
No, it's Iowa. That's Iowa.
If
you build it, you want me to do my James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones.
People will come, Ray.
Yeah. I am your son, Ray. I'm your father, Ray.
People will come, Ray. You bring an insane maniac billionaire to Iowa. People will come. There is a tinfoil hat that we have who is probably likes Donald Trump. This guy is really endemic of
the extremism that is running rampant in America.
And these people are, when we talked earlier about those two guys coming from the Red Sox game who beat up a Latino.
Because Donald Trump told me to in my dreams.
You know, I mean, these
facts. He was homeless and Latino.
Yeah.
That's two strikes against him. So we're going to piss on him and we're going to beat the shit out of him. And that's because Donald told us to.
You know, I mean, Hitler did it really well. Hitler victimized minorities.
He's our hero, isn't he? Yeah.
He's not that far from these guys because basically this whole immigrant hating thing is as old as the weeds.
If you're playing Republican bingo, you just got three in a row. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You mentioned Hitler, you mentioned Donald Trump, and you mentioned Latinos.
Yeah. There is a tape of Donald Trump actually. This is what he said the other day when off camera. He just said this.
All right, we'll give some land to the niggers and the chinks, but we don't want the Irish.
Actually, before Donald Trump, there was Blazing Saddles. Yes. That's from Blazing Saddles. Donald Trump is right. Okay. All right. So this is a talk show host in Iowa. And I got to say, I got this off of, there's a wonderful show called Secular Talk. And they got it first.
That's on the TYT
channel. It's on the TYT channel. Yeah. You got to listen to these guys. This guy's fantastic.
We want to be them.
We
want to have their children.
I wish we were. Actually, you know, I got to say that.
Don't hide your light under a bushel.
Yeah,
tell them.
I'm not gonna. I'll go first.
Just
tell them. Best of the professional left. who, by the way, did a shout out because I sent some Australian stuff to them.
Yeah.
And because I really like their show. I'm not getting stocky. I'm
yes,
not sitting
you are.
There. No, really. I'm, not, yeah, yeah. I'm not going to be like Kathy Bates going, you know, it's, you know, I'm not going to get like Kathy Bates going, you know, I really, you know, I really wanted to send you stuff. You know, I'm your number one fan. I'm not like that.
But I want to break your legs. So I can't get away.
No, stop it, Randy. You'll scare the children. All I'm saying is.
Please think of the children.
No, think of the children. All I can say is that I've been listening to their podcast for 3 years now, and I love their podcast. And Secular Talk is like one of these podcasts. They do a
bit
of
work.
But thank you, Driftglass and Bluegal have been very supportive of our podcast. Thank you very much. And we love you.
And the check is in the mail.
And the check is in the mail. Actually, it is. Because I give some money to the show.
As if we really need to get some crowd. We're going to get some money coming. You know how much petrol costs to get up here to the hills?
Yeah, we're going to do a crowdfunding thing called Pay for Randy's Petrol.
Yeah, Pay for Randy's Petrol.
Okay, so that's what we're going to do, but not now. Anyway, this is from Secular Talk. This is a guy named Jan Mikkelsen who deeply deserves to be a tinfoil hat. Here he is talking about what he would do if Jan Mikkelsen ruled the world. Talk show host Jan Mikkelsen from Iowa.
And I was asked by an immigration open borders activist a couple of weeks ago how I would get all of the illegals here in the state of Iowa to leave. So you're going to call the police every time you find an illegal, or you're going to round them up and put them in detention centers? I said, no, you don't have to do any of that stuff. Well, you're going to invite them to leave the country and leave Iowa? I said, well, sort of. Well, how are you going to do it, Mikkelsen? You think you're so smart. How would you get thousands of illegals to leave Iowa? Well, I said, well, if I wanted to do that, I'd just put up some signs. Well, what would the signs say? I said, well, I'd put them on the end of the highway on western part of the interstate system, and I'd put them on the eastern side of the state, right there in the interstate system, and in the north on the Minnesota border, and on the south Kansas in a Missouri border. And I would just say this. As of this date, whatever it's, we decide to do this, as of this date, 30, maybe this is a totally arbitrary number, 30 to 60 days from now, anyone who is in the state of Iowa that is not here legally and cannot demonstrate their legal status to the satisfaction of the local and state authorities here in the state of Iowa become property of the state of Iowa. So if you are here without our permission and we've given you 2 months to leave and you're still here and we find that you're still here after we've given you the deadline to leave, then you become the property of the state of Iowa.
Yes, that's right. The conservative movement in America is now advocating slavery.
Oh, yeah, just like they used to before Abraham Lincoln, who was a conservative Republican as well. But anyway.
Is there any point in which people will sit there and go, this is just a bit too crazy?
Yeah, how low will they go?
I don't know. This guy, I sat there listening and I just went, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, that's what he was talking about.
Absolutely.
If you're in Iowa after the deadline, your ass belongs to the state.
I will not be moving to Iowa. Yeah. Just sorry.
You go to the gulag.
I'm sure I'm sure there's some very people, lovely people in Iowa, but this guy evidently gets an audience. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's our tinfoil hat. Can I have the the cheer squad giving our tinfoil hat?
Thank you.
Tinfoil hat and... you get the Golden Fart Award. So here it is. Here it is right now. Ah, that's just there.
Oh, I bet
that's,
they could smell that all the way back in Iowa.
Ooh, oh, boy. Why?
Yeah.
Eat a lot of corn. Eat a lot of corn there.
Somebody crawled up there and died, yeah. Whoa, goodness gracious.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's class radio journalism here.
Yeah,
we have fart jokes.
William, a good fart joke is never wasted.
That's right. Yeah. Certainly not.
Better out than in, I always say. Yeah.
But you have actually a joke that you
not a joke.
But no, it's actually something that you wanted to put in because it's actually quite funny.
You play your friends,
yes.
Your idols, the Young Turks.
Mm.
Broke this yesterday.
Okay, so
you play their little clip and then I'll talk about it.
I'll play the clip. This is from Young Turks. Here it is. Hold on.
A 15-year-old farm boy has entered the presidential race, and according to public policy polling, he has 9% of the vote in North Carolina. What's his name? It's D's Nuts. All right. So that's really it. That's the story. It's just fun.
Now, so first of all, I love the kid. He's 15. He can't run for president. His real name is obviously not These Nuts. But he's, you know, he's got the American spirit, right?
Yeah.
And he's entrepreneurial. He's having fun. He's making things life interesting for everybody else. And I like that I hope that at least 9% of the Republican voters in North Carolina had enough humor. Mm-hmm. To write in, yeah, These Nuts,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, America has been pranked by a 15-year-old from Indiana. Yeah, his real name is Bradley Olson.
Yes.
Because he registered his address to the home where he's owned by his father, Mark Olson.
I don't know why he has a problem.
That's my son. That's my 15-year-old son. Now, he filed the FEC Form 2 Statement of Candidacy. His name is D's Nuts, which is actually a punk group or something. It's a punk rock group.
Yes.
But anyway, according to the Federal Election Commission, he hails from Wallingford, Iowa.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you expect it?
Yes.
Wallingford, Iowa. I thought Iowa was Indiana. That's Iowa.
You know, this guy is doing for America is what Bart Simpson does to Mo in The Simpsons.
Yeah, he's ringing up and saying,
is anyone here for D's Nuts?
Yeah, anybody
D's
here?
D's Nuts! Are you kidding?
I'm looking for D's Nuts.
I'm looking for D's Nuts.
All right. Anyway, so he's got a platform. He's for balanced budgets.
Yeah.
Against illegal immigration, for gay marriage.
How does he feel on nuts?
Against oil subsidies.
Oh, good.
Okay.
I think this D's Nuts has what it takes to go through the long primary process.
And if I remember my sophomore year in high school, I was thinking other than something than running for president. That's for fucking sure. Anyway, so he has two full decades to prepare to legally run for president.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can do it until you're at least 35, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
The minimum age for a presidential candidate is 35.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, but he's running now.
He's running now. By the way, we have here at The Bill Show created a 30-second commercial for D's Nuts.
Have we really?
Here it is.
Every now and then, America has to find someone to lead. Today, America needs nuts. These nuts. We talked to some of the people who were fond of these nuts.
I'll tell you, when I was president, I loved working with these nuts. I really mean that, too. Hi, honey.
I wish when I was governor of California that I had these nuts. I did not have these nuts. That's why I sucked at the job.
Hello, America. And if I was alive today, I'd be working with these nuts. Coming, Mommy.
This is the year when America needs to get nuts. These nuts.
My name's These Nuts, and I approve this announcement.
Yeah, I'm kind of.
I'm leaning his way.
I'm leaning the nuts. I'm on the nut wagon.
Yeah, okay. Now listen, Bill. Just while we're on here, I'll give you some facts about him.
Okay.
The elusive Mr. Nuts won't allow the media to interview him on camera. So he has given some written answers to his favorite media outlet, which is Rolling Stone magazine.
Okay.
He's 15 years old, does not have a day job, he has no kids, and he's not married. He is a sophomore at high school.
Okay.
Okay. He's amazing. What about you're a high school sophomore entering my sophomore year, also taking online college classes through a nearby college. Now, do your parents know that you're running for president? Are they supportive? Yes, my parents know, and they gave me the green light. And your legal name, Mr. Nuts? No, my legal name is Brady C. Olson.
Yes, he's lost me there.
Okay, I'm assuming...
I was on the nut bandwagon, but now...
Take your political name from the band?
Yeah.
Yes, he does. Now, is this some kind of statement about the two-particle political system?
Because yeah.
Of course, he got 9% against Hillary and your friend Donald.
The Donald.
Yes, it's half out of frustration and half out of trying to break the two-party system. What made you decide to run for president? Well, because I didn't really want to see Clinton, Bush, or Trump in the White House, so I guess I'm just trying to put up a fight. Now, how do you describe your political orientation, Mr. Nuts? Have you ever been a registered Democrat or Republican? I'm 15, so I actually haven't registered yet. I would side, however, more with the Libertarian Party. Now, what do you think qualifies you as president? Well, the fact is I can fill out a form that's so vague, but it doesn't even ask for your age. Or the fact that everybody gets accepted, even if they're only partially filling out the form, so anyone can run.
Hmm.
Do you really live in Iowa? I Google mapped the address of your FEC registration, and it looks like a houseless spit of land between two lakes. Yes, that's where I live, but Wallingford is actually 8 miles to the west. I live in between four towns, Estherville, Wallingford, Great Ringer, and Ringstead. So he's sort of like a countryman.
Yeah, yes.
He's a country bumpkin.
He's a country bumpkin.
And you know what? He's just near that cornfield.
So, yeah. So
he walked out of the past. Okay.
Good job.
Yeah, anyway.
So that's good.
For Public Policy Polling, who is the group that first noticed Mr. Nuts, they're using his name in the polls.
Yep.
His request.
Okay. This is cool. This is absolutely cool.
I asked. I wanted it to be against low pollers like Lindsey Graham or Lincoln Chafee.
No, 9% is more than Lindsey got in Iowa.
Yes,
you know that he's beating Lindsey Graham.
Why would Americans support you rather than Donald Trump? Well, because I'm young. I think I have a fresher idea. Because whatever decisions I make would have longer effect on me than anybody else.
That's true.
Isn't that interesting?
That's true.
What a realist.
So we're on the D's nut bandwagon.
One question for Hillary Clinton, what would it be? Why can't you be more open and friendly like Bernie?
See, that is true.
Wow.
No, he's dead right. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry. Look,
if you were going to back
Clinton, it comes off as having all the personality of a used car lot now. Okay. She just looks mechanical.
Now, if you could back another presidential candidate, who would it be? Either Bernie Sanders or Gary Johnson.
Who's Gary Johnson?
He's
a libertarian, this kid, so I don't totally trust him.
Libertarian from New Mexico?
Yeah. Okay. I like libertarians. I'm sure he's nice, but
here's the last question. How far are you willing to take this practical joke? And Mr. Nuts or Brady C. Olson?
Yeah.
As far as America wants to take it.
Oh, boy. He's a libertarian. He's gonna
be there right to the end.
Yeah, he's gonna be making money off this real soon. By the way, ask yourself, how much money do we make off this? Nothing.
But we're having another competition, and we're gonna give away another prize.
Absolutely, because we're the kind of people that just do nice things.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, there was a little dead air there.
About us in Great Falls, New York.
Yeah, all right.
They're going to hear about us now.
Everywhere. Okay, so as we know, Val, who we've vowed to mention on every show now.
I love Ed, who's married to Randy.
Yeah, absolutely. He's married to Randy. Okay, we need a second winner, another winner for our competition. Now, Val, you cannot win this one.
Yeah.
You've gotten your thing.
Yeah. And guess what? This question's so easy.
Because we don't really want to think that we only have one listener. So it's like, what'd you say?
I say, this question's so easy, even I knew the answer. So get in there and vote!
Yeah, no pressure.
Vote!
Okay, so this is a clip I'm going to play you from a film that, if you're a true liberal, you would know what this film is. Absolutely. And I'm going to ask you, it's Woody Allen, he's in a film, and I want the name of the film, the year it came out, okay? Just the name of the film.
Yeah.
Just the name of the film.
Give me what it's about.
The name of the film. Yeah, we don't want to write an essay. The name of the film and who played opposite Woody Allen in the film.
Yeah.
He was a great guy on Broadway. He was fantastic.
And a comic actor.
And a genius.
Worse than that.
Yeah.
He was actually a subject of this himself.
He was, actually. He was a subject of what is detailed in this great film with Woody Allen in it. This is the last scene from this wonderful film. And what's the film? What's the film and who starred with Woody Allen in it? Here it is.
Mr. Prince, I ask you for the record. Did you know Herschel Brownstein?
Howard, you go to jail.
Also known as Hecky Brown?
Be practical.
Did you know this man is either Brown or Brownstein?
Either name will do, Mr. Prince.
Tell them.
Brown or Brownstein?
Just the name.
Are you refusing to answer?
Will you talk?
Fellas. I don't recognize the right of this committee to ask me these kind of questions. And furthermore, you can all go fuck yourselves.
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you.
Yeah, well, that is the that's
the competition.
That's the competition.
Yeah.
I want to know what was the name of the film and
who
and
played opposite Woody Allen
in the film, and for bonus points. Yeah. And for bonus points. Well, when was it released? And remember, you can respond to this great competition that we're all very excited about at thebillshow.net.
Thebillshow.net for everything Bill Show.
Everything Bill Show.
Everything.
Everything.
I live there. You know what? I actually downloaded myself. And you I'm do? On that site.
That explains all the boosted numbers.
I'm creating a sort of a persona here.
You don't have to, but you got a fedora on, which is really cool.
It's not. It's a Stetson. Okay. It's a Stetson San Juan. This is the hat that Indiana Jones wears.
Well,
that's
who I thought you looked like.
Oh, fuck you.
TheBillShow.net.
See you next Tuesday.
Okay, man. TheBillShow.net. And of course, you can read us at TheBillShow on XPR at gmail.com or TheBillShow on Facebook. Give us a review, guys.
Yeah, tell us what you really think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Don't give us a bunch of sycophants.
Because we need reassurance.
Our self-esteem is in the toilet.
It's in the toilet.
Gosh. We feel like Josh Duggar.
Yeah. Hey, oh, no.
Hey, sweetie.
Stop, man. You're just deviant.
Go.
Okay, see you later.
Bye. Bye.
See you later.
Ta-da.
Now it's time to feed them, give them their meds, and pack them away till next time. So long and good night from the Bill Show.